This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, October 25th, 2024. 11 days until Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're listening through the app, on demand by podcast, or watching us on social media, we appreciate you being with us as well to wrap up the week. I got a question for you and for Greg Bach, who already knows the answer as he joins us from Radio Park. Did you know Jack Jones passed away?
Yeah,
you did. You put the note, and I believe it was, I think Roger put the note up yesterday from Stevens Point, but I could be wrong. And so just before we got started here, I was trying to find the Love Boat theme because, yeah, of course, you can't. The man did many songs. You actually see him acting?
I did. I saw him play Sky Masterson in Las Vegas.
Okay.
With, oh God, who played the Riddler on Batman, and the
Frank Gorsham?
Yep. Frank Gorsham, okay. was Nathan Detroit.
we're skewing a little older to kick things off this morning, but you know, it's not so much that I was paying attention much to the bulk of Jack Jones's career, but every Saturday night at 8 o'clock, you would turn on ABC, and if you were, and just put the kids to bed, if you had one of those babysitting gigs like I did, you turned on the TV and you got a little bit of this. You were waiting for Captain Steubing to show up, give you that wave. There we go.
Exciting. Hey folks, do you like ocean adventures with C or D list celebrities?
hey. Back then they were B or C list celebrities.
Fair point.
I'll have you know.
The list I'm looking at right now, the clip you picked, lineup includes people like Mike Connors, who? Christine Ferrer.
Maddox.
Richard Gilead. Halston, the designer?
Yes.
Bob Mackey, the designer?
Oh boy. This is big. They must have been doing an episode of the Carol Burnett Show on the Love Boat, because that's where Bob Mackey got his start. Okay, well, we started off the rails right away here, but
yeah, you know,
we just were looking at things that were happening. And honestly, our theme today is going to be to occasionally look for those nuggets that remind us there's a world out there beyond the presidential election.
Yeah.
We're going to be, of course, talking about it a lot, but you know, in and out, we're going to look for little diversions, like when Dan Schumacher's on later. We're going to talk about the World Series, you know, Yankees and Dodgers coming up. Jim Santel, yeah, I know. Jim Santel, when he comes up, former U.S. attorney, he's got a couple of cases that don't involve the criming done by a former president of the United States, because, again, there are other things going on out there. And Roger now chimes in on Facebook. Jack Jones's passing is news to me. Sad to see. He did an episode of Night Court called the Day Court episode. I don't remember that one, but again, I don't remember all of the 80s.
By the way, Night Court, the original, holds up.
It does, yes, because one of the, one of the D-list stations, you know, runs it, you know, especially now with the reboot.
Yeah.
And the reboot is okay.
Yeah.
We actually will watch it, but, I mean, it's not going to be like a top 10 all-time favorite. But Jack Jones made an appearance on there. So, yeah, again, so we're looking for those little nuggets to remind us that there are things beyond the campaign. But then there are things that are part of the campaign. There have been two political bombshells in Wisconsin over the past 24 hours. On the program yesterday, we told you about how the Republican mayor of Waukesha was going to be voting for Vice President Kamala Harris. And now the legislature's longest serving Republican, State Senator Rob Coles of the Green Bay area, is endorsing Harris and is going to vote for her in the presidential election. I served with Rob Coles in the legislature. He was, by every measure, the most respected, among the most respected Republicans in the legislature, because he was an honest broker. When he said something, he meant it. Yeah, he's relentlessly honest. Is just a complete man of integrity. I know that's a cliche, but it's true. And the interesting thing is, he's part of I hate to say the word dying breed of Republicans, but boy, there was a time when Republican lawmakers, going back to the Nixon administration, were at the forefront of the environmental movement. You know, they were Republicans in that, you know, they wanted taxes to be low. They didn't want, they were very much in favor of job creation and a strong defense and all that. But they also wanted safe drinking water. They also wanted clean air. And Rob Coles has been somebody seeing the potential for new jobs in cleaner industries. And he sees all of that in Kamala Harris, or at least in Donald Trump, he sees nothing but doom and gloom ahead. You know, the doom and gloom that Donald Trump likes to talk about, that he thinks America is right now, but is not. That's actually what he would bring upon this country. Rob Coles sees that. The mayor, Sean Riley from Waukesha, sees it as well. We'll talk to Kia Vakil, and we will talk about signs of optimism out there. You know, there's been the pessimism of an endless campaign. Now the optimism that the finish line is in sight, and although things are close, they don't look dire. In our second hour, as I mentioned, we'll talk to Jim Santel. We'll also talk to Mark Jacob. Now, Mark worked at the Chicago Tribune. He's worked at the Chicago Sun-Times. He knows a thing or two about the tension between an editorial staff of journalists and the people who sign their paychecks. You know, the publisher, the owner, people who are probably much more connected to the money side of things, the business side of a community. And if they're lacking in ethics, they might get in the way of the journalists doing their job. And that's exactly what happened at the Los Angeles Times, where the editorial staff was basically set to hit print on an editorial endorsing Kamala Harris for president, and the owner said to kill it. So we will talk to Mark Jacob about that coming up as well. We'll have today's history lesson coming up at 6:50. And, of course, you can join us along the way like Roger just did by putting a comment in the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page. We'll take your questions and comments there, maybe put them up on screen as well. Or you can call or text the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And you can, of course, use the Civic Media app, not just to listen to us, but also to call us or to text us. We're very happy to have you along. The forecast for Halloween, it's not looking good. The forecast for Halloween is looking like a typical forecast for Halloween. The local forecast here in western Wisconsin, cold and rainy. And this weekend, on the other hand, looks rather nice. And so I'm guessing that a lot of folks are going to do their Halloween parties and things like that this weekend. And I'll be going to an event this weekend that has a bit of a Halloween theme. And so for the first time in a long time, I had to go into a Halloween store and look at costumes, all those costumes in a bag. because it was relatively short notice. We're just busy. Yeah. I didn't really have time to get creative and go to Goodwill or go through, other people's closets and find something. So it's like, all right, what do we have for a costume in a bag? And there's all kinds of things out there. And eventually I settled on something you go into the changing room there. And that's when you realize these things. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to be tailored clothing,
yeah.
But no matter how nice they look, it's basically a sweatsuit. It's a cheap sweatsuit in a bag, sweatpants and then some variation of a very lightweight, jacket or shirt or something like that. And the hat that, you know, there's all the different hats and accessories that you can wear with your costume. And of course, none of them are exactly the right size, but it's a whole different, it's a weird little cottage industry that has sprung up. You know, they roll into town, they unload everything into a vacant store, they sell it all, they leave town again. It's a really crazy little part of the economy. And I wondered, Greg, if that's something you'd ever been a part of, or when you do Halloween, are you always like looking for the most creative thing?
I am pretty much a Grinch when it comes to Halloween. It's not my holiday. I don't really care about it. I tried to do it last year once. I co-host the drag bingo at Lakefront Brewery, and Esther wanted to dress up as Ariel. Oh, no, Ursula. And she wanted me to dress up like King Triton.
And I went totally
to,
see that.
And I went to two places, and they didn't have any costumes. And one place I went to, they go, "We didn't have any costumes, and you probably wouldn't have them in your size." I'm like, ouch, you could have just stopped at "we don't have them."
Wow.
But then when I walked into Lakefront, I felt really bad because she's like, "We're going to do this." And I walked in, she goes, "Oh, I forgot." I was like, thank God. So I don't know. I don't really get into it. You know, like our, yeah, it's just not my, I don't know a lot of people who throw Halloween parties, so I'm good to go. I am going to a party this weekend. It's a birthday party, no Halloween theme, where my friend is cooking and smoking and roasting up 40 pounds of meat.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I will have the costume of a man who.
I was going to say, what is the costume of a meat coma? What is that like?
I just have little dribs of like clear glue on my forehead for meat sweats, and it'll be glorious.
Nice. Tony writes in on YouTube, last year in Ashland, there was a car with a Viking ship cover over it. It was amazing, and the kids loved it. That's the other thing that's, again, I'm not in that generation, the whole trick or trunk thing.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know? You either. Okay. No. Maybe somebody wants to call in and talk about trick or trunk and what they do when it works right. It's like this alternative to trick or treating, you know, around strange neighborhoods and strange houses. So a bunch of people who know each other, because God forbid we get to know new people, you know, all people who know each other or relatively know each other, gather in a place, a park or whatever. And I think basically you park all the cars, you open up the trunks, and that's where all the candy is. And the kids just go down the line from car to car in their little costumes.
You park the cars, open the trunks, that's where the kids are.
No, that's not what I meant. But anyway, somebody can probably fill in the blanks on
that. I'd love to know more.
All right, we'll unpack some more of the news headlines of the day coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Helen Reddy was born on this day. We'll talk about that in today's history lesson. But man, this was like the first song that ever creeped me out on the radio as a kid.
Why?
Are you familiar with the song?
No.
Oh, I should be playing this more. This is like this has got like a Halloween theme going. So it's a girl who's not quite right, and everybody makes fun of her, and then some boy comes over and, you know, thinks that he's going to, you know, get away with something, and instead, because she's unusual, he gets smaller and smaller, and pretty soon she can just carry him around. And everybody still thinks that she's a little unusual, because she is.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
It is. It's very, and again, for like a 10-year-old kid, we're like, what is this? What is happening? But
that's
definitely
your lesson,
not the
boys.
Same.
Don't be mean to girls.
Don't be mean to girls, especially the ones that everybody's talking about. No, don't be mean. This is a far cry from Helen Reddy, "I Am Woman." But it's one that still haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at sports here. We've got several things coming up this weekend. I mentioned the World Series, of course, starting in baseball. In football, you've got the Packers that are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Sunday at noon, pregame at 10 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. Badger football, you can hear them taking on third-ranked Penn State, pregame at 4:30 tomorrow on several Civic Media stations and on the Civic Media app. And the Badger men's hockey team game at Denver University. Coverage starts tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, along with plenty of great high school sports action across the Civic Media radio network and on the app. Check out civicmedia.us to learn more. And of course, you can always catch the daily newsletter from Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts that together. She's got a bit of a guide to, as she puts it, haunted happenings around the area as we get set for Halloween next week. And then there's a story in there as well about a couple of people that we've talked to from this group, National Security Leaders for America. More than 1,000 retired generals, admirals, fighter pilots, ambassadors, Bush administration officials, congressional Republicans and staffers, all out there warning folks that Donald Trump is not fit for office. That was also, so you can get that in our newsletter, but that was also the message of a Kamala Harris rally last night in Atlanta. A great big rally. You know, Barack Obama, Bruce Springsteen, Tyler Perry. Let's see, who am I forgetting here? Samuel L. Jackson, Spike Lee, all there. Springsteen singing, Obama speaking, and all of them, of course, warning of, quote, brutally serious consequences if Trump were to get back into the White House. Vice President Harris asked voters to imagine who will be sitting in the Oval Office 3 months from right now and think about their priorities. And Harris said it's either Donald Trump in there stewing over his enemies list or me working for you, checking off my to-do list. And you have the power to make that decision over which person it's going to be sitting in the Oval Office. Obama said to a packed high school football stadium outside Atlanta, "I get why people are looking to shake things up. But what I cannot understand is why anybody would think Donald Trump would shake things up in ways that are good for you." It was a very long rally, apparently, going way beyond schedule. But, you know, folks wanted to hang around and listen to Springsteen perform The Promised Land and also deliver some remarks, something that he's very much known for. But that wasn't, of course, the only thing that was going on in Milwaukee. There was a rally as well involving Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff. And he was there along with Milwaukee Bucks coach Doc Rivers and former NBA star, Milwaukee native Terry Porter, all drumming up support for early voting. Doc Rivers shared the story of meeting Kamala Harris when she was California Attorney General and he was coach of the LA Clippers. He said she blew him away after a short conversation. A few days later, I asked her to come speak to my team, and I introduced her as the future president of the United States, and that was 13 years ago that she made that kind of an impression on folks. Terry Porter talked about the importance of early voting. He said every second counts in basketball, and in this election, every vote will count. We need to stay in the game, stay on the court, and get things done right. Emhoff said that his wife is ready to be commander. The next thing he says is, she's got a to-do list. And that to-do list is for you, for all of us, on solving the problems of this country and doing the work for your family. And I laugh, and Sherry knows why I'm laughing, because when we heard a soundbite from Kamala Harris from Atlanta last night saying, I'm going to work off my to-do list. And, you know, Sherry and I both agreed, like, every good woman has a to-do list. And you check things off and get things done. Not an enemies list, a to-do list. That's how stuff gets done, as people like to say today, not using the word stuff. So what about former President Trump? What's he been up to? Well, continuing to trash the United States of America and saying that things are awful, even though we have the best economy in the world and continue to grow, and saying that he's got a new phrase, that we're now the garbage can for the world. And says, you know, people are coming here from 180 countries and dumping people here. No, much like your own family did, they're coming from 180 countries because this remains the land of opportunity for those who want to work hard and achieve it, not just those who feel entitled to something. Trump has moved beyond talking about migrants from South America, Venezuela, Mexico. He's also now talking about Congo, where refugees continue coming from a war-torn area in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And that's also led to a case here in the Chippewa Valley, where the settling of some refugees from the Congo drew up a lot of public ire. Well, now we also have the case where in Chippewa Falls, there was a rally recently against bigotry and racism and the kinds of things that some folks have been engaged in out in public. Let's be clear. If there's a list of column A and column B, migrants who are going to work hard and chase opportunity, and those who are going to be racist and think they're entitled to decide who lives in our zip code and who doesn't, I know which list of people I'd rather have as neighbors. And you can influence that as well with your vote coming up in 11 days. More after this with Kia Vakil. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, if you missed it before, 11 days to go. And that's 11 days till you're done voting. You can vote now. You know, go to myvote.wi.gov, go to upnorthnewswi.com, click voting guide, and get information on early voting. So for folks who will still be monitoring all of this activity, we direct you to one Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, who's tracking all of this. Kia, how you doing?
I am all right, Pat. 11 days to go.
Yep, a little, you know, we're all looking a little shell-shocked, but I think I mentioned this yesterday. Maybe it was on Chad's show instead of mine, but I feel kind of like we're turning a corner here that, you know, when it's like, oh, it's a month to go, it's 3 weeks to go, it's 2 weeks to go, we're getting tired of this. And now it's kind of like, hey, you know, the end is in sight here, and you can't help but notice the people who are still very positive about this. You see it at these rallies. We saw rallies in Wisconsin this week, and I know you follow what's happening in other states. You've seen the rallies. You've seen the visits by people like Republicans like Liz Cheney and former presidents like Obama. And so don't listen to the jaded, crusty old journalists here, except that we're going to tell you there are plenty of people still upbeat about how they think this is going to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've seen the candidates and their surrogates, you know, fan out over the country in recent weeks. You know, in Nevada, Barack Obama was there on, I believe it was Saturday night. Bill Clinton was there on Tuesday. We have Trump coming there on, Trump was there on Thursday. You know, Michigan, Kamala appeared with Liz Cheney, who also appeared in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Barack Obama was also there in Detroit.
With Eminem. Yeah.
You know, North Carolina, same situation. Kamala is there, in Charlotte today, I believe. And Bill Clinton was there over the weekend. So these core seven states, you know, which included Wisconsin, obviously, you know, are all going to get all the attention and all the visits between now and Election Day. But yeah, what you're seeing from those rallies, at least on the Democratic side, is a lot of enthusiasm among the base. And, you know, will that translate to a victory? Impossible to tell at this point, but you weren't seeing that earlier in the year, obviously, and that it's still being sustained a couple months after she entered the race and picked her VP and Tim Walz, you know, is a good sign. You know, it's going to be a jump ball. I think it was always going to be a jump ball of an election. We've seen that each of the last two cycles. And, you know, we know Trump has a, for better or worse, has a quite high floor of, you know, 46-ish% at least. And, you know, the question is if that's going to be enough in the Electoral College or not. But yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm and joy that, you know, is helpful for me to see in my, you know, cold, jaded, cynical journalist heart.
Yes. But again, the you could see it just in the fact that, I mean, we forgot that Bruce Springsteen appeared last night in Atlanta. You've got Beyonce expected tonight at a rally in Texas. Of course, her song Freedom has been the campaign anthem here. So people are like, you know, the celebrity, well, the celebrities wouldn't be doing this if they didn't feel like there was something positive that could come from all of this. So, you know, I would just say, go vote early, enjoy the rallies and enjoy the messaging, because it's nice to hear a lot of being for something rather than against something. There's always going to be a little bit of both in every election, but try to embrace what you're voting for this time around. Here's the evidence of it. The amount of early voting going on in the states, you know, with early voting has, you know, again, if you're a Grinch, it's going to make your heart grow three sizes larger. It's weird, though. You can't really, it's weird to compare the numbers because 2020 was a COVID year. So set that aside. It's still, this is not an election where everybody's like, well, I'm just not going to vote. I'm going to stay home. No, they're voting and they're voting right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing, I think you're exactly right. You can't really compare 2024 to 2020 or even 2022. It's an apples to oranges to onions comparison. You know, we don't have the worst of the pandemic raging right now. You know, people are still voting by mail, but early voting is really where we're seeing more and more people do it. And part of that is because it's convenient and easy. And part of that is because finally, Republicans are largely on board with it. You know, you still see Donald Trump spreading stuff about mail voting once in a while, but he has encouraged his supporters to vote early, and good for them. They should. Everyone should vote early. You know, there's no reason not to. Now, does that mean if Trump loses come election day, I don't think he'll spread lies about it and mail voting and all sorts of voting that didn't go his way? Of course he will, because he's full of it. But, you know, people should vote however and whenever they want, whether it's on election day, early voting, or by mail. And that we're seeing pretty high turnout in a lot of places is a good thing.
They should vote. They should vote early. But boy, as I'm looking through news from the states here, where in Virginia they're pushing to remove voters, or Iowa, the top official there says he has a secret list of ineligible voters. That is something that should just never be acceptable. It's one thing to do voter file maintenance in between elections, but with less than 2 weeks to go to be pushing that, there's nothing in line with democracy about doing something like that's not security. That's just gutter politics.
Yeah. I mean, it's trying to disenfranchise people who you don't think will vote for Donald Trump. That's literally what's happening. It's happening in every swing state. Iowa's not even a swing state and it's happening there. You know, we've seen lies and are continuing to see them about non-citizens voting in places like North Carolina and Nevada, not happening. College
students, all the Wisconsin college students who are getting these texts with false information, are basically threatening them if they vote in the wrong state, when that's not anything close to what the rules are. But these are people playing games with voters.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it in everywhere, and we're going to see more of it between now and Election Day. We're going to see it, you know, unless the election's a complete and total blowout, like, you know, I think we're going to see it after Election Day, unfortunately. And so it's just, I mean, it gets to the heart of what is the modern Republican Party, unfortunately, and it's an anti-democratic party that does not actually believe in, you know, democracy or voting. They believe in their own power and, you know, elections only count when they win. If they lose, they don't count. And that's not a sustainable thing for a democracy. You know, if Trump wins, you're not going to see Democrats refuse to certify an election. You're not going to see efforts to steal the election from him. You're not going to see efforts to file. I'm sure there'll be some disputes, legal challenges over good faith things, but you're not going to have an entire apparatus that kicks into gear to try to reverse the results. And we know every reporter in the country, every political office holder in the country knows that's going to happen if Trump loses. And that is an insane place to be as a so-called democracy.
Yeah, to bake that in as your assumption, you know, that that's what he's going to do. And it is why you see, again, you know, Liz Cheney this week. And, of course, the big news yesterday about State Senator Rob Coles from Green Bay, you know, again, as rock-ribbed a Republican as they come, saying that he's going to vote for Kamala Harris. And that list is only going to continue to grow over these final few days. So let's turn to some positive news from the states. And, again, where you see how every election can make a difference. Now, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is not up this year. She's in the middle of her term, but continues to do her job. And this week made news about taking the next step toward ensuring that contraception is available to women in Michigan for little or no cost. Just strikes me as, you know, smart policy if you want to avoid unplanned pregnancies.
Yeah. And to be clear, that is a thing that most people should be on the same side on, especially if you're anti-abortion, you should want to support contraception. That they don't, that people, most people who are anti-abortion don't support contraception, kind of gives the game away. It's not really about, you know, abortion. It's about trying to force women to give birth. And you see that in, not to to segue from Michigan, but I believe it was Missouri where there was a lawsuit filed because birth rates are going down there. And that's not something Republicans want because it deprives them of future workers in the economy. You know, human beings are human beings. We're not robots meant to work. And that's the only reason we exist.
Right.
But going back to Michigan, you know, that's just good policy. You know, people deserve equal access to birth control. It shouldn't be something that you can only get if you can afford it. We should all agree that teen pregnancies going down as they have in the last two decades is an unambiguous win. No one should be calling for a reversal of that, even though some people are.
Yeah. The news this week has also included a reminder that however this turns out, even if it is something where, you know, Kamala Harris wins, Tammy Baldwin wins and so forth, there's still going to be so many challenges to deal with. In my mind, that really has to include the way that money has flowed everywhere with no restriction whatsoever, especially corporate money, especially Elon Musk money from a defense contractor who's got a political action committee that's coordinating with the candidate when that's supposedly supposed to be illegal. Key, thank goodness for Tim Walz. I think that's the only thing we can say about this is he's willing to very publicly call out Elon Musk for some of the goofiness that he was doing with Trump earlier in the week.
Yeah. And I would really love to repeat it. I'll try to not.
I wish we could. Well, we went with dipstick where we're good dipstick. With that.
Okay. So. Your audience can use their imaginations there. Yes. Yeah, and I'll mention, you didn't even note, like, the most confounding thing of this is that Elon Musk owns one of the biggest social media platforms where politics and news information is shared, and it has become a cesspool of just anywhere from, like, alt-right to full-on neo-Nazi, like, hate and conspiracies and anti-trans nonsense. And, you know, this is a guy who's the richest man in the world, who owns one of the premier communication platforms in the world, who has defense contracts, who creates cars that are in, like, has one of the most popular car brands in the world. And this is the guy who's jumping up and down on stage, giving Trump millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to elect him. That's not a good thing. That's not a healthy political system.
No, it's not. And again, it wouldn't matter if it was working, you know, for Democrats as well. This is not the kind of system that is sustainable when you let this much money, corporate money, untraceable money, you know, run rampant through the system. And we simply have to be able to do better than that. And it's not just the disinformation. It's the way that on, you know, Twitter, information is being suppressed. There are plenty of people citing examples of stories that should be getting more traction about, I don't know, Trump praising Hitler's generals, and people noting that the statistics on those stories are so low that, you know, intentional suppression is the only explanation.
Yeah. I mean, that's at this point, you just never trust a single thing Elon Musk says, or you I take everything on Twitter with a grain of salt. Right. Take everything. It's just he's using it as a political weapon to advance what he wants done. And, you know, it's a private company. I suppose that's his right, but it's really not good for a democracy. And it is a huge problem because we are 11 days away from an election where we've already seen nonsense about like full on lies, both from domestic and foreign actors about Tim Walz, about Kamala Harris. It is going to be absolute fire hose of BS, and there isn't a newsroom in America that's going to be able to debunk everything. That's the unfortunate reality. And so, you know, where does that leave us? I'm not really sure, other than I would recommend nobody use Twitter in the next 11 days.
Yeah. Well, and especially when the guy who bought it, when the owner is sharing AI related material that is false, you know, AI is only going to get more ingrained into these campaigns. Again, if there's no accountability for all of this, which is my cue to remind everybody that this entire conversation did not involve Pat and Key at all. We are robots. We are programmed to try to speak the way that Pat and Key would. And I think we did a pretty good job today. A pretty good job today. Damn robots. Anyway, Kiev Akil, thank you very much. Hang in there. We'll talk again next week, and then we'll bring this thing in for a landing. Okay. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now, because of all of you, we're going to have them in, they're going to have them in both halves of the show. So here's the first appearance of the Rolling Stones.
Now, because of you people, he's saying to all these screaming women in the audience, we'll have them on twice this hour. This will be the Rolling Stones making their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show on this day 60 years ago, 1964. He promised afterwards they'll never be on the show again. They were on five more times because, you know, ratings.
Yeah.
You don't have to like them. If your audience likes them,
yeah,
there you go.
What did he have against them? I mean, it was like they're
he was an old newspaper columnist. He didn't like any of this rock and roll stuff. He wanted, you know, Sid Caesar and Senor Wences and Tito Puente and, you know, Pat Boone.
He was a boomer before it was a boomer.
He was. Yes, exactly. So that was, again, 60 years ago today, the Rolling Stones first appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show. We mentioned that today is the anniversary of the birth of the late Helen Reddy, born this day in 1941. Before Olivia Newton-John came along, she was basically the Australian import to the world. Export, I should say. Born this day in 1912, Minnie Pearl.
Aww,
remember her?
Yes.
Yeah, hee-haw regular country comedian. Born Sarah Cannon in Centerville of Hickman County, Tennessee. On this day in 1912, passed away in 1996.
I thought she was from Grindr Switch.
Turns out it was all an act. Oh my gosh.
She was wonderful.
Happy birthday to Katy Perry, hitting the big 4-0 today. You change your mind like a girl Sierra is 39 years old today, and New York Yankee Juan Soto is 26. He's marking his 26th birthday by playing in the World Series.
Yay.
And I guess he becomes a free agent after this. And so he doesn't, you know how you get $5 in your birthday card from grandma?
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot more than $5 when this World Series is over, one way or the other.
I found out that there's a guy named Taylor Trammell who played for both the Dodgers and he played for the Dodgers early this season. He plays for the Yankees now, and no matter who wins, he can get a ring.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, because he played for either team.
Yeah.
That's a cool deal. Let's see. The number one album this day in 1986. So we're going back a long ways now. But Bon Jovi, still very active, but they were new on the scene when this album hit number one on that day. Thirty-eight years later, that album, Slippery When Wet, which also includes Living on a Prayer, has sold more than 12 million copies worldwide.
It slaps.
Yeah. It apparently is Taylor Swift week on the album charts here, because for at least the third day in a row, we've got Taylor Swift album news from the history books. It was on this day in 2010 that she released her third album, Speak Now, with the more confessional song on there, Mean, hitting the charts. On this day in 1986, we said the number one album was by Bon Jovi. The number one single was by Cyndi Lauper.
Hey, girls might just want to have fun, but that doesn't mean they don't feel too.
Now, this marked, with this song at number one, it was the first time ever, 1986, that the top three spots on the Billboard Hot 100 were all female solo acts. Can't believe it took that long, but it was Cyndi Lauper with True Colors, Tina Turner with Typical Male, and Janet Jackson's When I Think of You. On this day in 2008, Britney Spears had the number one song with a Womanizer. It was her first number one since Baby One More Time, which had been 9 years earlier. On this day in 1975, Paul Simon's Still Crazy After All These Years album was released. Along with that title track, it also had 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover and this.
In my little town, I grew up believing.
Also on this day in 1975, Elton John played Dodger Stadium, where they're going to play a baseball game tonight. But it turns out you can use it for concerts as well. Elton John sold out Dodger Stadium. He sold it out twice. Here's a little clip of him doing Pinball Wizard back then. It's tough now for folks to understand, obviously Elton John is this legend, you know, and it's weird to think back when he was new on the scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, just a shotgun rise to the top right away, because he was over the top and flamboyant, but the songs were great. He had all of this talent, and yeah, he was selling out stadiums like crazy back in 1975. On this day in 2001, Microsoft released Windows XP, which was a big deal for the computer world until people realized it was still a Microsoft product and, you know, had its issues. On the National Day calendar today, a lot of stuff here. World Pasta Day, Global Champagne Day, it's Breadstick Day,
okay.
Greasy Food Day, let's see, it's Bandana Day, International Artist Day, and finally, it's Chucky Day from the Halloween movie. You know, the horror movie with the doll?
You mean Child's Play?
Child's Play, yeah. The one that a friend of mine mistakenly thought was a kid movie and played it for his kid who had the worst nightmares that night. Parenting tip, kids, know what's in your movie. I mean, more in our second hour.
I feel like you know that right away, but, you know, I get it.
More in our second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.